Well, I greet you all in the wonderful name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I am so grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be home. I'm grateful. This is my third time. I think so. This is my third time coming into this wonderful house. I'm so grateful. Right the first time, 2003, when we came, we were well received, well taken care of. We were a big band, I think it was seven or eight of us, and you welcomed us very well, and you took care of us. I see some of the faces that I saw 2003, and I'm glad to see you, and it's good to see you again. There's a whole lot of you I see. I don't want to mention your names. It's going to take me a while, but I'm grateful to be standing in front of you. I didn't know I was coming to stand in here. On this trip, I was doing what I call a hit and run. I was just coming in, pick up and quickly back home. And, you know, Pastor Woodrow, you know, began to say to me, I need you to come. And I said, no, I don't want to come. He said, no, you need to come. And at the end, he won. So, you know, And I am here, so I was not ready. I did not bring my tracks with me. I wish I was able to do a track and teach you one of my songs that I do that is popular. Wahambanati, Wahambanati, oh Wahambanati, oh Wahambanati, siyabonga. But that should be simple, eh? Very simple, right? Okay, let's try that one. Everybody, say Wahamba. Nati. Siyabonga. Okay. Wa is plural. Hamba is to walk. Nati is us. Okay. So, wa hamba nati simply means you walked with us. Referring to God. You walked with us. Wa hamba nati. Siyabonga simply means thank you. You walked with us. Thank you. And I believe everybody needs to say that every day. Even before you go and sleep, you have to say, you walked with me. Thank you. So it simply say, Wahamba. Say it again. Wahamba. Nati. Siyabonga. So it goes like this. Wahamba nati. Oh, Wahamba nati. Oh, Wahambanati, siyabonga. Very easy, right? Pick it up. Wahambanati, oh, Wahambanati, oh, Wahambanati, siyabonga. Ooh, do it one more time, come. Wahambanati, oh, Wahambanati, oh, Wahambanati, siyabonga. Do it for the last time again. Take it one more time. Wahambanati. Oh, Wahambanati. Oh, Wahambanati. Tell the person sitting next to you, say, you just sang Zulu. And you thought you couldn't. There's still a little bit of Zulu in you. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Pastor Woodrow Walker, for having me tonight. And you know that since I was not prepared to come, and you said come, and and I was thinking about what I'm going to do when I come here, and I thought the best thing I'm going to do was just to tell you, give you a testimony of my life, and you can see God in the testimony, and tell you what God has done even in the last few years of my life, and how God has been gracious and been good to me and to my family and to us as a church. And, Pastor Woodrow, you were at our church last year, you were at our church the other year. You know, my church asked me this year. They said, he's not coming, It almost felt like when we were sitting with the board looking into the calendar of the year, it almost felt like somewhere in October we needed to have a Pastor Woodrow Walker's day there. And so I'm glad that I'm here, and I will tell them I was with you, and we'll see if 2019 we can have a Pastor Woodrow Walker there. But you impacted pastors in our country. You impacted pastors. You talked to a lot of pastors. You impacted our pastors, and I've been speaking to our chairman and our president, who said, please greet him, Pastor Woodrow, for us. So there's a great impact you are doing and you have done in our lives. Thank you so much, and to your family. And so I really appreciate you, and I appreciate everything that you have done and how you've impacted us and how you've spoken to us and the great times we spent together in South Africa. I really am grateful, and I really enjoyed. Sometimes it's possible to have a special gift amongst you and not be even aware. And it's very possible. And sometimes you can have such a special gift, and that gift can be a blessing to everybody else out there, and you're not receiving from that gift that God has given you. But you have a special gift in Pastor Woodrow Walker here, and you need to thank God. You need to thank God. You really need to. You need to appreciate God. And one of the things you can do for yourself and for him is, and for his wife and for the children, is to love them. Pray for them. Take care of them. Don't talk bad about them. Don't gossip about them. When you find those who are gossiping and talking bad about them, don't join that club, so that God can bless you through them. And so we thank God for your life, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you. I see Pastor Gerald last year you came with him. You owe me a ride. You owe me a ride. You promised me in South Africa. You said, when I come here, you will drive me. I'm waiting for that drive. I'm waiting. Hallelujah. Let me show you a little scripture in Psalm 23, very popular scripture that you know. Psalm 23. Look at that scripture. If you have your Bible or whatever you use, your iPad, whatever you use, Psalm 23. It's a popular scripture. If you have it, let us read it together. Yes, I'm using NKJV. Thank you. Yes, I'm going to read the whole psalm, right? You're going to go with it. Let's go. Let's read. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, this is a popular psalm, but this is a psalm of David. This is David's confession. This is David's life. He wrote this out of his personal experience. This is about him experiencing and expressing God and expressing how he has experienced God. David was not reading a psalm. He wrote this psalm. We are reading the psalm. He was not reading a psalm. This is an interpretation of his life. What does that mean? It means when David was penning this psalm, he was alive. That's why this psalm is in the present tense. If you look at the tense of the psalm, it's in the present tense, which then also means, I don't know if you do that here in America, back in South Africa, when we go to bury people at the graveyard, when they lower the coffin, you will see the pastor reading that scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't know if you do that here. In funerals, we do it. But this is not a scripture for the dead. This is not a scripture for funerals. This is a scripture for the living. Because this scripture is even in the present tense. It's for our daily living. And this is a scripture that we use every day. Now, I've taught our church to use this scripture every day. When you wake up every day, if you say this scripture, what you have done, you've set the trajectory of your day. You've spoken into your day. When you wake up in the morning, I've done it this morning. I do it every day. When I wake up, I say, Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. You make me to lie down. In other words, I'm setting my day in advance that today the Lord is going to shepherd me. Today the Lord is going to make me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord is going to lead me today. And I can tell you, even I was looking at our day today. I was saying to Pastor Walker this afternoon, I was saying to him, the Lord is with us the whole day because our things were just coming together. We had short time to do a whole lot of things and our things were coming together. And I remembered that the trajectory of the day was set in the morning when I woke up and I say, Lord, you are my shepherd. Once you say the scripture in the morning, you are working on your day, you're working on your life. How many of you know that your life needs to be worked every day? There is no day that you must rest. You continuously work on your life. That's why you are called a human being. You are not a human being. You are not a human having. You are not a human owning. You are a human being, B-E-I-N-G, I-N-G, connotes continuous tense, which means you are continuously becoming. You are not the same as the person of yesterday. Between yesterday and today, you have being. If there's English like that. You have being from yesterday to today. So it is important that you work on your life, because you see, a lot of things have been mistaken. We've mistaken being a human being to being a human owning, and we've reduced our lives to things. And by the way, you've discovered that if you don't have peace without things, things will not bring you peace. You've discovered that, right? If you don't have joy without things, things will not bring you joy. You know that, right? Because things are not meant to give us peace, to give us joy. So David is showing us here, he's showing us that he is completely depending on God. He is showing us that, Lord, without you, there is nothing I can do. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Again, letting us know that this has to do with life. And he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. It's not the dead that dwell in the house of the Lord. It's the living. It's you and me. So this psalm is supposed to actually talk about your everyday life. When you wake up every day, this is your life. And David is very personal about it. He personalizes it. He says, the Lord is my. He's not saying the Lord is our shepherd. He's saying the Lord is my shepherd. But when you say the Lord, just to say the Lord, you are talking about authority. There are people who want God to be God, or who want the Lord to be the Lord in their lives, but they deny his authority or his lordship in their everyday life. They still say he is my shepherd, but they are denying him to lord over you. Because every time you say Lord, you're talking power, authority, governor, ruler, control, master, chief. When we hear the word Lord, you think words like landlord. A landlord is someone who is owning or who is a master, who is controlling a piece or a particular part of the Lord. He is the master. Now, I don't know if you do the same, but in judiciary, once you talk about the Lord, once you talk about the Lord, they refer the Lord to a judge. We'll call the judge in South Africa, we're using the British system, we call the judge my Lord. And then the lady will, the female judge will be called my lady. I don't know if you say the same here. You say my lord. All right? To a judge, we say my lord. Okay. Now, in South Africa, I don't know if it's the same here. If you are in a court setting and the judge has not come in, you can sit, talk, do whatever you want. But when the judge is going to come, the messenger of the court will start and say, all rise, and you all have to stand up. And then the judge will walk in. As long as the judge is walking in, you can't sit down. As long as the judge has not sat down, you can't sit down. That's how you reverence the Lord. And that's an earthly understanding of the Lord, but that's giving us an indication of who the Lord is in our lives. Why you can't sit before the judge sees, because this is a man who has the final authority in this room. So this man is the one who must give us direction. So David says, the Lord, I have watched other advocates in the courtroom. Any advocate who is in the courtroom, if they're going to walk out, they don't just stand up and walk. They will stand up, they will look at the judge, they will bow, and then they will walk. What are they saying? I submit myself to you, and can I have permission to walk out? And most of us as Christians, we miss those important and critical parts of the Lord being the Lord over our lives. To be able to have him have full authority of our lives. There are people who are saying, like in a house, there are people who are saying, Lord, you can come to my kitchen. You can come to my sitting room. Don't come anywhere near my bedroom. In other words, they are saying, Lord, I will compartmentalize you. I will tell you where you can go, where you can't go in my life. They will do things where they say, I don't need you here. I'm okay with you here. Let me tell you, one of the things that make you not to go move forward in life is to be a Christian that is seasonal and daily-cal, if there's an English like that. In other words, you are a great Christian on Sunday. You become another great Christian on Wednesday night like this. But you are a mess on Monday. You are a mess on Tuesday. You are a mess on Thursday. You are a mess on Friday. You are a mess on Saturday. You wake up Sunday. You are another great Christian. You know what you're doing? You're doing this. You're not moving anywhere. You look like you're moving forward. But on Monday, you actually go back. Tuesday, you're back. Wednesday, you come again. Oh, we give you all the glory. Thursday, you are messed up again. You go back to your whole life. Friday, you're even more messed up. You're going back to your life. Saturday, you are worse. You are down, down, down. Sunday, oh, you're back. And most of us, we waste our time and waste our life by going back and forth, back and forth, and not giving God his position as the Lord. And entirely depend on him 24 hours every day. David is showing us that the Lord is Lord over my life. I'm fully depending on him. And then David says, the Lord is my. When you say is, you are talking present tense. Meaning you can't say the Lord was. The Lord is. When we get to tomorrow, the Lord is. In other words, there's no second of my life where the Lord is not. The Lord is every day. Whatever you do, the Lord is. I get on a plane, the Lord is. The plane takes off, the Lord is. And David is showing us that it has to be done every day. What confused Goliath when David was fighting with Goliath is that Goliath was seeing a small boy. He did not know that this small boy is carrying the Lord. As I'm coming to you, Goliath, you're seeing a small boy, But what you don't know is that the Lord is my shepherd. Now, as I'm coming to you, the Lord is, which means every battle, every challenge, every situation I'm getting into, the Lord is. I'm getting into that situation knowing that I have the judge. I have an advocate. I have the Lord. So in every challenge and every situation I go to, I relax because I know there's a judge, there's an advocate who is my Father, who is my Lord. He says, he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. One of the things that is interesting to me about the Bible is that even when you look at Genesis 1:1, the Bible does not even try to talk about where God came from. The Bible is already gone past that stage. Right at the beginning, Genesis 1:1, the Bible is gone past the stage where God comes from. Because the Bible is already saying, in the beginning, God, presupposing that he was before there was a beginning. Because it's saying, in the beginning, God, which means there was a God who began the beginning. He is not the beginning. He began the beginning. That's why the Bible says, in the beginning. And by the way, Pastor Woodrow, when you look at that word, Genesis, when you look at it, Genesis, you see that? Genesis, G-E-N-E-S, it's genes. And genes is that which we get your where you come from. Am I right? They say he's got his daddy's genes. That's how they determine where you come from, genes. And Genesis is G-E-N-E-S, genes. I-S makes it Genesis. If you take I-S and put it on the side, it will read, Genesis will read Genesis. You with me? Genesis, take the I-S, put it on the side. It will read Genesis. And then the first line says, in the beginning, God. I put it to you this way. Your genes and my genes is in the beginning God. Which means in the beginning not your mother, in the beginning not your father, in the beginning not your boss, in the beginning not your friend, in the beginning God. Which means what? My genes are from God. Did you know that you only came through your parents? You did not come from your parents. And it was God who decided which parents you will come through into this earth. So I don't know my father. I'll be 47 this October, the 12th of October. I don't know. I've never seen my biological father. My mother was raped at the age of 14 years. At the age of 14, a young girl was raped. And she got pregnant. She carried the baby. 12th of October, I was born. Handsome, good-looking, bouncing baby boy was born. And that very boy today is standing in front of you talking to you 46, 47 years later. So that tells you, and I don't know my father. That is why when I went into the Bible and then I discovered that the Lord is my shepherd, then I paged through and then I realized and discovered that he is a father to the fatherless, which then confirms to me that I did not come from my parents. I came through my parents, but I came from the Lord who is my shepherd. And then he comes and he introduces himself. He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb. He does not say before you were formed in your mother's womb. Original script says, before I formed you, which means God was doing the forming while your mom and dad was having the fun. It was not about anything else. God was the one doing the forming. Because there's no human being who can create a human being. Human beings can do what they want to do and have fun, but it is God who is doing the forming. He said, I formed you in your mother's womb. And he said, I knew you. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And you can understand here that by saying he's my shepherd, he is saying he is the one who is leading me. He's the one who is guiding me. I don't know how many of you have seen a shepherd stick or a shepherd staff. If you look at the shepherd staff is shaped like that. The shepherd staff. Because sheep generally get confused. Sheep generally get lost easy. And Jesus calls you and me his sheep. Sheep generally get confused. So, when he says the Lord is my shepherd, he means that the Lord has that stick. When I get lost, he hooks me, brings me back, put me on the right direction again. Because every now and then, I will get lost. Every now and then, I will trip. Every now and then, I will fall. That is why I need a shepherd. Because by myself, I will not get it right all the time. I have to depend on the shepherd. That is why, as a child of God, every day you have to ask God for every decision you have to make. Father, guide me. Show me. Is this the right direction? Can I do it? It doesn't matter what it is. You always have to ask God and check with God. The Lord is my shepherd. Let me tell you what a good sheep. I may not finish the psalm because I'm just going to share poetry. Because I want to tell you, I'm telling you my testimony as I'm going along. Let me tell you what a good sheep does. Let me tell you what a good sheep does. I like to make examples. Let me use you as the lion. So, Mr. Lion, stand here. Okay. Let me use you as a shepherd. Mr. Shepherd, stand here. What a sheep does, what a shepherd does, he leads a sheep or the flock into greener pastures. And when he finds the greener pastures, this is revelation, I tell you. When he finds the greener pastures, he does not stand in the greener pastures. He leads the sheep there and he stands aside for the sheep to enjoy the greener pastures. When the shepherd finds greener pastures, he does not stand there. He stands afar off and let the sheep enjoy. So, good sheep will eat and enjoy greener pastures. Now, when the sheep is enjoying greener pastures, the sheep cannot see on the right and on the left. Because all the sheep sees is greener pastures. And the sheep is correct. Because the sheep must enjoy the greener pastures. Because the sheep has been brought into these greener pastures by the shepherd. So what the sheep does, the sheep relaxes in the fact that the shepherd is there. And the shepherd does not move. The shepherd stands there. So the sheep is having confidence in the fact that my shepherd is here. So my job is not to worry about enemies. My job is just to eat and enjoy. Then the lion comes. Now, you know a scripture that says Satan is roaring like a lion. He's not a lion. He's roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he seeks. He's not devouring everybody. He seeks. And let me tell you who are those that he devours. A lion depends on the roar in order to catch. Now, a sheep. For a sheep, the lion uses a roar for the sheep. So what the lion does not go to the sheep. The lion stands afar off. And the reason why the lion never gets to the sheep is because as the lion is coming, the lion sees the shepherd. And the lion knows trouble there. So the lion never goes near the sheep. But what the lion does, the lion stands here and roars to the sheep. Why the lion roars? Remember, the sheep, every now and then, will get lost. Every now and then, when there's a noise from somewhere. And the sheep, when the noise happens or comes, normally the sheep does not check where it's running, it just runs. So if there's a roar this side, the sheep will go to the lion. So what the lion does, it roars. A good sheep, enjoying greener pastures. Lion roars. Good sheep does not run away. Good sheep does this. Oh, there's a lion. Good sheep. Oh, the shepherd is still there. Watch. Good sheep. Eating, the lion roars. The good sheep will. Oh, that's an enemy. Oh, my shepherd is still there. You know what a good sheep does? Goes back and eat. For as long as my shepherd is still there, I shall not want. I shall not be afraid. Even though there are enemies, even though there are those who don't want me to succeed, even though there are those who are blocking me at work, even though there are those who are fighting me at every level, I shall not want. You know why? My shepherd is just here. All that I need to be sure of is my shepherd here. If my shepherd is here, I am safe. If my shepherd is here, I am fine. If my shepherd is here, I am protected. If my shepherd is here, I shall not be moved. If my shepherd is here, I am covered. If my shepherd is here, I am safe in every way. Shout hallelujah. Just like this young boy who had a bully at school who was always troubling him and fighting him. And this young boy one day ran away from the bully and came home and cried. And the father said, "What are you crying about?" This young boy said, there's a bully at school. This boy. And the father said, "I didn't raise you like that. I didn't teach you that. You stand up, you go back." So the father said, "Where's that bully?" He said, "He was chasing me outside." And the father said, "You stand up, you go back, and you stand. Stand against that bully." The boy leaves the house crying, fearful, terrified. The father said he must go. What amazes the boy is that the boy is crying, coming to the bully, is that the bully begins to run away from the boy who is afraid of the bully. And the boy begins to gain confidence. He begins to see, this man can run away. This bully can run away. So the boy runs towards the bully. But what the boy did not know is that when the father said to him, "Stand up and go and stand against the bull," as he went and he was crying, what he did not know was that the father followed him. So the bully was not really running away from the boy. But the bully was running away from that which was behind the boy. The Lord is my shepherd. When he is behind me, even Goliath must fall. I'm sorry if I'm making too much noise for you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. But can I say to you, you will never get to a point where you say the Lord is my shepherd until he has done something for you. You have to see him in your life. Let me tell you, God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I'm the God of... I don't believe. He was saying that to say, I end with Jacob. He was saying that as a reference to say, I am the God of. I am the God of. And then Moses said to him, these people you are sending me to, they're not going to believe me. Who shall I say send me? And God says, tell them I am that I am. What do you mean you are that you are? Well, I am that I am. I can't give you a name. You know why? Because you're going to experience me differently. And in the way you're going to experience me, that's what you're going to call me. Which means my name is that which I will be to you. So when God protects you, he becomes God, your protector. When God saves you from at work, if they're reshuffling or they have to, when you lay off some people and your name is not amongst those who will be laid off, you will say, the Lord is the protector from being laid off. So Moses, God is saying, you can call me whatever you want to call me. He will not be a shepherd to you until you get to a point where he can do. He has done something for you. You recognize it. You acknowledge it. He becomes that to you. That's why God is everything and everything to us in different ways. To me, he's a father to the fatherless. That's how I know him. And so, Moses, if you want to call me the bush banner, you can call me that. Moses, if you want to call me holy ground, you can call me that. Moses, if you want to call me mountain climber, because the Bible says he met Moses at the back of the mountain. If you want to call me mountain climber, you can call me that. If you want to call me a strategist, you can call me that, because God went to wait for Moses where Moses was going to pass by. He's a strategist. He knows where to wait for him. He went to wait for Gideon under the tree, the terebinth tree. Why? Because Gideon was a tree cutter. He went in there. He knows how to position himself for you. So Moses, you can call me whatever you call me. So I have given God some names for myself. 2009, we were driving on the freeway using a very good car. And out of the blue, out of the white, out of the red, out of the yellow, the car decided to just move from one lane to another lane, to oncoming lane, to another oncoming lane. Then it came out of the freeway, went on the side, hit lifted the back like that, then down, spun like that, pick up the fence, spun like that all the way. And then when the car stopped, there was three of us in the car. When the car stopped, the first thing we did was to check each other. Are you okay? Are you okay? I'm okay. We were all okay. Then we tried to open. The doors could not open because the way the car had hit the ground, it squashed the door. So we couldn't open. So the only thing we were able to do was to call for them to come and pick us up. They had to come, and it was late at night. They couldn't see us. We stayed there for a while. When they found us, when they took the car, when they went to the panel beaters, is that what you call them? Panel beaters? The people who fix the cars? What do you call them? Huh? Body shop. We call them panel beaters. They beat the panel to get the car straight. Tell your neighbor, I've learned something today. When they assessed the car, they said to me, if you were driving another car, which I did not understand what they meant, they said, you would have been dead. You would have been dead. So he saved me from an accident. So I call him Savior, but saving from an accident. That's what he is to me. One day, I could not sleep at home. This left side, my neck was that much big. Could not move. Around 12 midnight, 1 a.m., woke up, took the keys, drove myself. Because I had an automatic car, like the ones you're using, because at home we have a lot of shift cars. So I drove myself to the hospital. Got to the hospital, the doctor gave me something in 30 minutes. I was out. When I woke up after a few hours, there were drips all over me. I woke up and I said, what's going on? And then the doctor began to conversate with me. And he asked me, what do you do? Who are you? I tell him everything. He says to me, you must thank your God. If you had stayed 30 minutes later, two possible things were going to happen to you. One, your whole left side would have been dead. You would have had a stroke on the left side. He said, two, the other thing, your heart was strained in pumping. At some point, your heart was going to say, I'm tired and give up and stop. You would have been dead. He said to me, if you stayed 30 minutes later, 30 minutes longer, you would have been dead. He said, you must thank your God. So I call him the Lord, my life giver. He gives me life. Because when David says the Lord is my shepherd, he understands shepherd because he was a shepherd himself. So he has a personal experience with God. Pastor Woodrow, 2009, I was signed by a very big record label in South Africa. And I exploded. I was here 2003. 2009, I exploded in the country. I exploded in the continent. And so I was with the record label 2012. Then I had a situation with the record label. Now everything has exploded. Everything is going well and all that. Then I had a problem with the record label. It was about copyright and intellectual property. And then I had a 7-month legal battle with the record label, back and forth. One day, we were sitting, three of my lawyers this side, two of the company's lawyers, the owner of the company, myself this side. And I was sitting there. They are negotiating back and forth, and they are saying, in order to settle, you will have to pay so much, and they were talking hundreds of thousands. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening. I heard a voice said to me, settle. I say to my lawyers, settle. As I hear, I say, settle. They look at me, they say, that's a lot of money. They said, are you sure? I said, no, I'm not sure. They said, so what do you mean? I said, I heard a voice saying, settle. So, settle. They said, can we take a short recess? We'll come back. And so they asked me out. We went out. They asked for a private room. We went into the room. They said, do you know what you're talking about? I said, no, I don't. They say, you know you'll have to pay
hundreds of thousands. It's so much, so much. I said, I heard them say that. They said to me, do you have that man? I said, no, I don't have it. They said, so what do you mean we must settle? I said, I don't know what I mean. I just heard a voice saying, settle. They say, what voice is that? I say, that voice that said settle, that one. I'm following that one. Settle. They said, are you sure? I said, no, but settle. On what basis? On the basis of the voice. Settle. We went back. They said, okay, we're settling. And the record label, I could see the owner of the record label go back like this. And she said, are you sure? And you know what they did? They gave me a short time. They gave me 30 days to come up with those hundreds of thousands. It was almost a million. They said, you have 30 days. If you don't come up with it, you lose all of your intellectual property, all of your copyright. You lose everything. The company keeps it. I said, that's fine. I went out, I left. 15 days into the month. 15 days into the month. I was phoning my lawyers, saying to my lawyers, let's get the account number. I'm ready to give them all of their money. We gave them all of their money. I got all of my intellectual property and all of my copyright. So from 2013 August, September, everything that was in the shelves all over the country, everywhere, I had established my own record label, Obrigado Records. And from that time, everything that is in the shelves all over the continent belongs to me. There's no, I am the record label. On the basis of the voice, who is the Lord? Who is my... That's what it means by shepherd. He has to shepherd you in every situation. Even till today, there was no logic in what happened in that room. But I heard Jesus says, my sheep knows my... I settle. Okay, let me close with this. Because Pastor Walker said I've gone too long. Let me close with this. Let me close with this. Now we started church. Our church started 2004 in November. The church started. 2014, that will be 10 years later. One day in the morning, the Lord wakes me up. The Lord says to me, look at the property sites. So I look at the, I go onto the internet, I look at property sites. I see this property. I see a telephone number. I call this person. I say, I want to see this property. It's a Saturday morning. He says to me, no, I'm not available. I said, no problem. Whether you are there or you're not, I just want to go and see this property. Where is this property? He directs me. I can't get it right. He says, give me 5 minutes. He calls me back. He says to me, all right, meet me in such a place, closer to that place. Meet me there in 30 minutes. I said, good. So 30 minutes we meet, we go there. When we get there, I see the place. This is our church where you've been. I see the place. It's a Saturday. I said, okay. So I go inside the place. It's an old store. It's an old, like, supermarket. You say supermarket? It's a supermarket? Okay. Yeah. It's an old supermarket they are no more using. I go there. It's dilapidated. It's dirty. There's all kinds of things in there. I go inside there. I kneel down. I say, Lord, in this place we will worship you. And so I stand up, I go. I say to the gentleman, meet me here tomorrow. He said, okay. So I go to the church on Sunday. We're having our service. When we finish, I say to our leadership, I want to show you something. Let's all go. We all go. We get to that place. When we get there, they see the place. They say to me, you shouldn't have called us, Pastor. You should have just signed the offer to purchase yesterday. So I say to the guy, we say to the guy, okay, give us the offer. So we sign. We tell them, they wanted, can I use figures? Is it okay? We offer them 3 million. We offer them 3 million. We say deposit for 1 million. This was owned by a Portuguese person, Portuguese, white Portuguese guy. And this Portuguese guy, when we said deposit will be 1 million, and then the balance 2 million,
the Portuguese guy said, okay, in South Africa, when you buy property, you have 3 months to come up with the finance. So then we sign. The Portuguese guy say, these people are joking. Firstly, where will they take the million? Secondly, I give them 3 months to come up with it. We say, good, we sign it. So in that same week, we pay the million because we had already raised the million. So we had the million in the account, so we paid the million. And then from there, 2 months passed by. Now we come to the last day. In that last week, we then say, look, we are not able to come up with a balance. Can you give us an extension? He gives us 1 month. So that's all you get. Now that 1 month was November. And it ends on the 30th of November. And the 30th of November was on a Sunday. So legally and or officially and legally, they must give you Monday as a working day to be the last day of the contract. Right? So, and our working hours, official working hours is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So 4 o'clock is the end of day, cut off day. So there was a businessman and there was a, anybody who's from Nigeria here who is Nigerian, lift up your hand. If you're Nigerian, okay. Let me. All right. Now you will know that, these expressions are particularly from Nigeria. When Nigerians pray, they use expressions like by fire, by force. Am I right? Okay. So, after we signed the offer to purchase, there was a church, a Nigerian church, that gave another offer, a 5 million offer. But there was a businessman who gave a 6 million offer. But legally, you can only take those offers and put them in a shelf. They can't be active until the term of the current offer is off. So now they tell the businessman, they say, don't worry, these people are not going to be able to come up with this money. And listen, 4 o'clock on Monday, 4:05, we give you a call. Because the businessman said, I don't need to go look for finance. I have the 6 million. So they say, 4:05, we call you. You put the 6 million, the deal is yours. The building is yours. He says, okay. Then they tell me on Saturday. I say, okay, I went to seek the face of the Lord Saturday. I said, Lord, what is this? Now, we had to come up with 650,000 then at that time by tomorrow. I said, Lord, what is this? You're giving us a building and so on. And God said, nothing. That's why you can't take God, you can't walk with God by experience. You can't. No, you can't say because in that room, he said to me, settle. Then he will speak in this situation. But let me tell you how he spoke in this situation. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace just hit me. And I said, okay, I'm going to sleep. I went to sleep. Sunday morning, I went to church. We had service, normal, everything was fine. I told the church, I said, church, we need to raise 650,000. And if we don't raise 650,000, tomorrow the building either is gone and we lose some money as a church. I said, the God that I know, he will not let us taste it and smell it and have it close and not give it to us. That's what I said. And I said, we need to raise 650,000. Okay. Cut the story short. In 1 hour or in less than 1 hour on that Sunday, they gave me, the church gave me 650,000. In less than one hour, they gave me 650,000. We called them, we settled. We said we will settle, and we settled. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Our contract ended the last day of the month, and the month of November. Our church was started in the month of November. So this contract was ending November 2014. Our church was started 2004 November, which means that's 10 years Exactly. Like exactly. Not 1 month late. Exactly. Okay? Now, one of the financial institutions, because we applied on all the financial institutions for the financing, and all of them turned us down. But one of them had an appetite. And because they had an appetite, they did due diligence on the building. They gave us a report, even though they did not do the financing. They didn't do the deal, but they did due diligence and they gave us the report. You understand what I mean by that? Okay. So the report says that they're giving us. We're sitting in the boardroom. They said to us, we've discovered that this business stopped operating 10 years ago, 2004. And from 2004 till 2014, they've been struggling to sell this building for 10 years. It's been 10 years of struggle to sell the building. It looks like this building is not sellable. If they struggle for 10 years and it's such a good building to sell it. Then my wife says, aha, we needed to hear this. Because what it means is that when we started the church 2004 in November, it means God went to the building and he told the building, no man shall be able to buy you because those who are supposed to own you are on their way coming. And on their way, maybe 10 years, but we were still coming. And God says, no man will sell this, will touch this. Notice once we signed, immediately there was another offer from the Nigerian church. Immediately there was another offer from the business. For 10 years they are struggling to sell it. As soon as we touch it, everybody wants to buy it. The Lord is my... So this Lord who is my shepherd... My wife says, he held that building for 10 years. Let me come back to the Nigerian. So the Nigerian church that made a 5 million offer, 2 million more than us, they requested from those who were selling the building if they could come and pray there. To pray. So they came, they pray every week. Their prayer was, Lord, we cancel the contract and the deal that is in motion now. You said to us, wherever the soles of our feet shall step. This is the Nigerian church praying. You have given us that place. By fire, by force, this place belongs to us. Right? Now, the agent, the person who was selling the building, did not tell us this whilst we were trying. He comes to tell us after the deal is done with pay. He says, we did not believe you will manage and so on. And then he says, let me tell you what happened. There was a Nigerian church that prayed like this and they stopped their service. Then I discovered that number one, the Lord is not Nigerian. Number two, if you come and pray by fire, by force, what you don't know, which I then discovered, is that my Lord is a consuming. If you come by fire, by force, it's going to be fire against fire. And greater power, greater fire will consume the smaller fire. The Lord is my... Which then means there is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. No tongue that rises against you that shall stand. Anyone that wants to stand on your way, if you know your Lord, if you know that the Lord is your shepherd, there is no man, no woman, no living being, no living soul that can stand on your way when you know that you have the Lord. The Lord is your shepherd. I flew all the way from South Africa to come and let you know on a Wednesday evening that the Lord is your shepherd. Stand your ground. Stand and be strong. Stand and know
that the Lord is mine.
Give God a praise. Come on, give God a praise. Come on, give God a praise. Come on, clap your hands and let him know, Lord, I thank you that you are my shepherd. I shall not want. Whatever situation you're going through, you may have. The Lord is your. While you're standing, let me tell you this last one and hand over the microphone while you're standing. The last one. The last one. Now, Pastor Walker has been to our building. Now we moved into that building. Now we are exhausted financially. Our bills have gone real high. Now we don't know what we're going to do. Now every month we have to trust God, but we're always falling short. Every month is a problem now. Now we have stuff that we must make sure we pay. And I have to trust God and believe God for this stuff. And money is not coming as it's supposed to, because remember, we've now moved into a building in a suburb, in a little bit of an upper market. So the bills are high. Now I'm saying, Lord, what am I going to do? How are we going to do this? What are we going to do? Now our building is not far from the freeway. You call it a freeway or a highway? Yeah. Yeah, it's just by the highway. In fact, our building is 10 minutes from the airport when you land in South Africa. When you land, our building is 10 minutes from there. It's by the highway. Now, one day, I was coming from home. Our office calls me. They say, don't use this route that comes here. Take another route. They tell me. I said, why? They say that route is closed. Cars are standing there. Traffic is bad. It's bumper to bumper, meaning cars right next to each other. And this person in our office says, it took me 2 hours to get to our office. It's only 20 minutes drive to our office. He says, it took me 2 hours to get to our office. Now the traffic is standing still. Okay? So we find out what happened. A truck. Now, these trucks that have the head and a long trailer, right? I don't know what you call it. When the head of a truck, jackknife, that's what we call it, jackknife, good. So, that's what we call it at home. So a truck actually jackknifed on the freeway. But then the truck closed all the four lanes of the freeway, because the truck jackknifed and kind of took the entire freeway. They closed it, okay? On that day, they closed the truck jackknife. We did not know. There are university students. Then the top university in South Africa is called University of South Africa. It's called UNISA. You can go and Google it. You can find it. UNISA, UNISA. It's one of the top universities in the world. That day, they were writing exams. And a lot of their students could not write that day. Those who came from the area of our area where the church is and the surroundings, they could not write because of the truck that jackknife. So they wrote to the university and complained. So what the university does, the university goes around and hires venues. Venue? Hires venues to use as examination centers. So, as the students complained, the university has to go and look. They went. They looked around until they came to our place. When they walked in there, the director general, he looked at that church and he said, my wife is petite. It looks like a young girl. My wife is very, she looks young. And the director general of the university says, who
are the bosses of this place. We want to talk to the boss.
Now, my wife is a very humble person. She's, I know if it was you, you were going to be like, okay. My wife was like, yeah, you can tell me what you want to talk with the boss. I said, no, we want to talk to the owners of this place, the boss and so on. I said, yeah, it's fine. You can tell me. And the director general says, no, we want to hire this venue. Because we want to rent this venue. It does not just meet our standards, it supersedes the standards of our venues for students. So my wife said, okay, no, you know, I'm one of the people who are owning here, and so we can talk. So they talk. I was not around, so they talk. Then we started talking. Our board started talking with them. We started negotiating, and they told us what they're going to pay, when, what they need, and when they need us, and all that. And then when I looked at the figures that they were going to pay, you know, I looked at that. And then I began to think. So the first month they used the place, they paid us the money. And I was beginning to think. And I remembered the incident that happened in the freeway. And then I said, the Lord knows how to jackknife a truck in order to bring the finances here. So I began to call him, the Lord, my truck jackknifer. I have just come to let you know, there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard. Today, I own a record label. Today, our church is one of the fastest growing churches. When you were there, Pastor Woodron, and you, when you were there this last time, we were buying the second property. You remember? You gave into that. That property is paid up. That property belongs to us. As a church, now we own 3 properties in that area. Why? The Lord is my... If you make him your shepherd, if you make him your Lord every day, not just sometimes, every minute, there is nothing too hard. Watch this. He can do it for me in South Africa. He'll do it for you here in America. He is the same God. The earth belongs to him. I love you. God bless you. Let me just pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, you've allowed me to come into this wonderful, wonderful church, wonderful place. Father, you've done some great and miraculous things for me. And I know, God, even though I was coming here for the reason of picking up the things I've come to pick up, you knew I was going to stand here today. This had nothing to do with me and Pastor Woodrow Walker. But this was established before the foundations of the earth. And you knew who was going to be here tonight. And you knew what they needed to hear. And you knew what they're going through. You knew what they've been through. You knew what they need to get into. I thank you today, God, that you've allowed me to come. You've allowed me to share. You've allowed me to bring and pour my heart. I pray, oh God, that the word has gone out. That God, you do the work in their lives. That Lord, none of the people in here will understand you only on Sunday, only on Wednesday. But that everyone will live here knowing that every second, every minute, the Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd us, O God. Shepherd us. Shepherd us, oh God. Shepherd us. Today, we say, oh God, no limits where and how far you can shepherd us. Shepherd us, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I believe, God, it is established, it is so, that there is no weapon formed against these individuals that shall prosper. That as you walked with me, as you showed me great things, you will show them. And they will be able to call you the name of the experience they will have of you. In Jesus' name. We give you the glory, we give you the praise. I thank you for Pastor Woodrow. I thank you for his family. I thank you for this church. Cover them and cover this church. Move this church to another dimension. Move this church to another level. Let them know you are truly their shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen and amen.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.